Okay. Snakes in Hillary's hair turn Benghazi committee to stone. What do you know?
Live from the Monona Terrace in Madison, Wisconsin, it's Michael Feldman's What Do You Know from Wisconsin Public Radio and PRI, Public Radio International. That's John Tulin on the piano, Jeff Hammond on bass, and I'm Stephanie Lee.
Still burning.
In this hour of What
it's
Do You Know,
burning.
We welcome New Yorker columnist and Be Less Stupid author Patricia Marks, plus all the news that isn't and the What Do You Know quiz. Support for What Do You Know is provided by PRI affiliate stations and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. And now, the man who's hoping to work the passing asteroid into his Halloween porch, Michael Feldman.
My mother's lamp and not Dover. Fooling around. Okay, a little behind the scenes thing. We'll edit this out of the show. This will never happen. I will never knock over my mother's lamp while lying as if I were taking psychiatry. All right, so anyhow, yeah, Benghazi. How many of you watched the Benghazi committee? Okay, let's see. No, applaud, because it's a free radio and you can't actually see it. All right, how many watched 1 hour?
5 minutes.
How many watched 2 hours? Applaud, yeah. How many watched 3 hours? 4 hours? 3 hours?
At least
3 hours? What does she win for 3 hours of the Benghazi committee?
Wow, let's see.
Bottle of wine. Come on. It's a no-brainer.
Oh, I was going to give her the 9 hallmarks of highly incompetent losers by Pat Reeder. But we could do wine instead.
Yeah.
How about
what would you rather have, the 9 incompetent losers or a bottle of wine? I said a bottle of wine. Your house is open.
And I just kept working.
Wait a second. Okay, I'm sorry. I don't mean to put you at a disadvantage here, but you listened to it more than anyone else, at least in this room. So what?
So, yeah. What are you asking me?
I don't know. I was asking you what you were saying.
Well, you asked me how long I watched it.
Yeah. You said at least 3 hours.
At least. I was interested.
Yeah.
I wanted to see... Really, because I think that this is an example of our boys overseas, and if they call for help and nobody responds, what then? So this is a serious matter, and I think everybody ought to be aware of what's going on.
Yeah, okay.
So anyhow,
what is your name, by the way?
My name? Yeah. Must I?
That's the first name.
Joan, that's good enough.
That's what they call her, Joan. That's good enough, ladies and gentlemen. And 3 hours, and any conclusions from watching at least 3 hours?
Yes. I really think that the truth hasn't come out, that it's spun around to make people look good. And, we need to be really conscious of all of this stuff. I've got a grandson that's in the reserve. If he gets called up, I want somebody there and watching his back. And that's what we all need.
Very good. Thank you very much. All right.
Well, Joan, for telling it like it is, how about a bottle of Domaine du Sac from the Wollersheim Winery?
Oh, there we go. Should be something.
Winner of the 2015 Riverside International Wine Competition.
That sort of kills off my Lilliputians fail to stake Hillary down, crack, and... Benghazi and Harriet, which I like. For the older crowd. I thought Hillary did a good job, though. Actually, the only miscue she might have had in the whole thing when she was asked about her emails, and she said, depends on what you mean by E. So Bill was obviously coaching. All right, let's see now. And all the non-Hillgazi news that isn't. Next for the House, the Cubghazi Committee. By the way, the Cubs asked that no flowers be sent, but all contributions to Cubs care gratefully accept it. And if you can play shortstop, definitely stop on down. Let them know who you are. You know, it takes the Chicago Cubs to make the Mets the Yankees. Bernie is up the ante. Now free college and refunds to all of us who already paid. You're very close to getting my vote on that one. Joe Biden abandons his presidential quest and will run for House Speaker. And he's just got to change chairs at the State of the Union. So it's really easy for him. Paul Ryan's demands for Speaker. Long weekends off, Gulf Fridays, and all the major and minor holidays with the family. So he'll end up, of course, he'll be Speaker of the family instead of the House. what this means as far as Paul Ryan is, of course, all government shutdowns must occur by noon Friday at the latest. By the way, all those those shots of his kids looking so excited on the airport there, the plane touchdown, they were really happy to see the flight attendant. He was just in the same shot. So. Okay, after saying Iowans are brain damaged from the Monsanto in the corn, Trump's handlers tell him ixnay on the orn K in Iowa. Trump only responds to Pig Latin. I don't know if you knew that. Dissing corn could be Trump's Waterloo, Iowa. A confident Trump, however, takes out the casino gaming license for 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. I'm waiting for Melania's White House tour. Have you seen the missus? I want the DVD rights. Adele has a new album out, Farmer Inn. Adele? Do I have to tell you people everything? Obviously, if she has a new album, I'll be called Farmer Inn. Adele. A woman who can smell Parkinson's disease has zero social life. Secret Service agents caught awake on the job. Whole different joke if it's Build a Bean. Can't read my writing here. That's an R. Build a Bear Workshops charged with selling stuffed bear livers to the Chinese. Oprah doubles down on Weight Watchers. The GOP is gutting Obamacare. That would, in fact, ironically send all those gutted to the ER. Overwhelming the ER with gutted individuals. Dad had a Lincoln Chafee. Okay, well, that's about what it's worth. Thank you. Jim Webb, AWOL. Flaming liberal wins in up north there, so as prime minister, so bids go out on the Great Wall of Canada. See, Walker was extremely right. And finally, confused and dithering, Jeb Bush calls Trump the false zombie front runner. And that's a quote. That's all the news that is, and thank you so much. And more power to you. And to us all. Patty Marks is in New York City. I don't think that's unusual for her. She writes for The New Yorker, and she's pretty New York-centered. Central New York, I would say. She's got a new book out here called Less Be, Less Stupid, or something like that, and it's an attempt to maintain her mental faculties. And she's with us right now from New York. And hey, Patty Marks, how are you?
That's such a hard question. I'm going to go with fine. How are you? So many ways to go with that.
And it should be Patricia now. I mean, are you using the Patricia as a...
After I wrote this book, I got so smart, I changed my name from Patty to Patricia.
Yeah, cool.
And now I'm a storm.
Yeah, really, really? There's a bandwagon effect?
Most powerful storm, which I guess means I'm a...
You mean the storm, heading to Mexico.
I just made landfall in Mexico.
Yeah. What does eidetic mean?
Oh, God, I looked it up so many times. How soon do you have to know?
All right, that's fine. That's a good answer. Because this is about, you feel like you're losing, like you're only 29 years old, according to your bio. How many faculties could you lose in 7 years since you were 22?
The truth is I'm pretty much as old as most speed limits in the country. I think I've proven
you're 75, honestly?
Is that what it is?
Yes. No. You're unlimited in Wyoming?
Unlimited, yeah. But yeah. when I go through intersections, I get very young.
Well, now, were you seriously concerned about your mental faculties just because you couldn't remember a few things? Is that what happened?
Well, serious isn't in my repertoire.
Okay,
but
sorry.
I was worried because I was starting a lot of sentences. What's the word for, you know, that thing, the thing that you put in the thing?
Yeah.
And also there were a lot of sentences of where did I put my... So, yeah. And I would have conversations with friends, and we would compete about who was losing their mind faster. Like, no, you don't have to worry. I really have to worry. No, you're fine. I have to worry. And you realize you're competing to be a loser.
Yeah.
So you want to win.
Well,
so
have you gotten to this point yet? I actually, if I have a good meal, which I prepare for myself, I thank the plate.
Well, I've apologized to walls and things. I haven't thanked the plate yet. Maybe I haven't had a good meal yet.
Yeah, possibly. Well, let me know when you get to that stage. I'm way ahead of you on this thing, so I know
what's
happening.
Well, I was having a conversation with a friend of mine who won by saying, have you put toothpaste on your contact lenses yet? And I wasn't even sure if I had contact lenses, but yeah. I won.
How could you even do that by mistake? That makes no sense, though.
Yeah, she just wanted to win, right?
She just wanted to win. So now, did you approach this scientifically then, scientifically to improve your mental faculties?
Do I seem like a scientist? No, what I did was I live with a scientist, though, who made fun of me the whole time. Yeah.
Yes.
He'll come up later in the conversation if you ask the right question.
Okay, we'll see. I'll try not to then. I don't talk about him.
No, what I did was I read as many books as I could and made lists of all of the things they told you to do to... delay your cognitive decline or even get smarter, and I did as many of them as I could. First, I took my IQ, and I did that after my Get Smart program, and I had my brain image before and after.
Yeah.
Do you want to know what I did?
Yes. No, I'm sorry. Did I interrupt?
No, I think I interrupted myself.
No, go now. Go. Did you hear a voice? Because I didn't say anything.
Oh, you know what? The other thing about it, as you said, I live in New York, and I can't hear a word because they've decided outside my window to, like, build the pyramid or a lake or something. So, very noisy here.
Well, there's a big difference between a pyramid and a lake, so that's another sign, I would have to say. Let's talk about IQ for just a second here now, because you do actually provide sort of an IQ cheat sheet in the book, which is nice of you.
Mm-hmm. Cheating is my thing.
Yeah. Did you study for the IQ test?
I studied so much for the IQ test. You can't really study, but I did study. The first IQ test I took online because you usually score about 28 points higher. Well, math doesn't sound right. You score higher, let's just say higher, usually than when a professional does it. So I took the IQ test, and I was just sailing along thinking, this is so easy. My mother is right. I am a genius. This is unbelievable. I'm acing it. And then I press the button to find out how smart I am, and I have an IQ that is 74, which is it would be like a miracle that I put my socks on.
Yeah. Oh. No, you're subnormal. But that's not a bad thing.
I know. Well, it turns out that it was a time test, and you had 20 minutes, and I took all day. I voted for mayor. So I deserved it, you could say, 74.
Yeah.
I was lucky to get it, really.
Did you retake it?
I had a professional take my IQ. You have to bring in number 2 pencils. And then I did my stuff for 4 months. You know, I learned Cherokee. I learned piano scales. I zapped electricity into my brain. I tried to meditate. I flunked that. And then I took my IQ test again, and it went down.
It dropped from 70.
Good job, right? No, well, no. It got higher when the professional did it. And then I had an MRI taken before and after, and the MRI was sort of more promising because the technician gave me my textures, which like looked like chewing gum. The brain looked like chewing gum or a tomato or something.
Yeah.
And she said, and your brain got 33% bigger. And then that scientist boyfriend of mine, I told him, and he laughed and laughed and laughed and laughed, and he said, if that were true, your brain would be coming out of your oozing, I think was the word he said, oozing out of your nose and your ears and your mouth. And you can't see me, but it's not.
Yeah. And yet your brain does seem to ooze out of your mouth oftentimes.
Yeah, it does.
I've noticed.
If I try to catch it, I wear a brain guard.
Yeah.
In my mouth. And then the other thing he did was he gave me to just discredit MRIs entirely, he gave me an article that described an experiment scientists did where they gave salmon, dead salmon, and they put a dead salmon on an MRI machine, and then showed the dead salmon pictures of human faces. And then they asked dead salmon, what emotions are being conveyed by these pictures? And the dead salmon, there was brain activity.
Now, in summary, you have the brain activity of a dead salmon, is what you're saying.
I'm hoping.
Let's back up here just for a second and try it a different way here. I was interested, by the way, you have a list of people with IQs.
Right. Oh, yeah. Almost everybody has an IQ.
Almost everyone has it. And everyone is as smart as you thought they were, except for Andy Warhol. Did you notice that? Andy Warhol has actually surprisingly low.
Oh, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, they are more or less the same.
Yeah.
Of course, I got this information as I got so much of my information off the Internet, so it's entirely unreliable.
Yeah. Is it fair to say this book is totally bogus?
That's what my standard is, yeah.
Should be 1,003 things about your brain or something. All right, let's go. Oh, wait, I want to try to approach this a different way here. Oh, by the way, Lisa Simpson is actually smarter than Jonathan Swift. I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah, that's right. And on the same page.
Yeah.
My book.
Yeah.
Well, wait a minute. Oh, yeah, she is.
Yeah. By the way, this is totally off topic here, but you are the reason Rugrats was so Jewish. Rugrats was the only cartoon where they celebrated Hanukkah.
Proud.
Yeah, because there are all these little talking babies and stuff, crawling babies and stuff, and my kids used to watch it all the time, and it's Hanukkah on the Rugrats. That was you.
You know how Jewish I am? When I grew up, we were allowed to stay out of school in Rosh Hashanah, but we called it Rosh Hashapa because we got to go shopping.
Boy, if that ain't a sin, nothing is. Holy cow. See you on the Day of Atonement, Patty Marks.
Yeah. And I went to a synagogue, and for confirmation, we performed Jesus Christ Superstore at the synagogue.
Okay, let's get back on topic.
Let's go back to my brain.
What part of it should we look? How about you had the cranial electrostimulation. Did you do that at home?
Yeah. There was a machine, a little device, and it looked like a garage door opener, and it was attached to two little sponges the size of like an Oreo that you wet, so water would go down your cheeks.
Mm-hmm.
And I, in a reverse children and women first principle, I gave it to my boyfriend to use first.
Mm-hmm.
And it gave him a headache, which I thought was kind of hopeful because, you know, you don't really care if it's doing something bad. You just want it to work.
Right.
Right? So then I used it.
Mm-hmm.
And it made everything look like a disco in a little way, which was fine. Like, get the lights flashing on and off. And I did it for 20 minutes. Oh, I did it for 40 minutes every day. And as I said, my IQ went down. What can I tell you?
Yeah. Your brain got bigger, but your IQ went down. So there's probably pressure, cranial pressure lowered your IQ, swelling in your brain.
Something did. It could have been the Cherokee or something. I don't know.
Okay.
Or the physical exercise.
All right, let's deal with the Cherokee right now. Learning Cherokee, because it's so complex a language, can actually improve your brain function. Is that the idea?
Learning any language can improve your brain function. Mm-hmm. Apparently, except Cherokee, it turns out. But doing anything you don't want to is really good for your brain. You know, learning anything is good for your brain because your brain, as we all know, is plastic.
Okay, but Cherokee keeps coming up. So why Cherokee?
Well, if you really want the truth, I learned Cherokee because I thought it was Navajo. and I wanted to learn Navajo because it is the the language that they use to break the code.
The code breakers, yeah.
Yeah. Turned out they did use Cherokee a little.
A little.
I don't really know it enough to break the code.
Okay. Okay, so it was mistaken language use. And your friend...
I also wanted to learn something that hardly anybody could test me on.
Yeah. Was it conversational Cherokee, or was it just...
Yeah, I could order things in a Cherokee restaurant.
Could you give us an example, Patty, of ordering something in Cherokee?
No, I could not do that.
And you're, yeah, because I know your French is only good in countries that are not French speaking. Is that true?
Yeah, is that true for you? Well, no, I learned French.
Yeah.
Learned is really an overstatement.
Yeah.
I took French in high school. Mm-hmm. I mean, many years.
Much French. And
what French?
Très, very much French.
Très French. We just took French on high school. For many.
All right, stop it.
Okay. I can say something. You want me
no.
to say?
Say something in French, sure. What the heck?
French? I'm going to say something in Cherokee.
Oh, okay. Yeah, go ahead.
I'm going to say gagayu. Do you know what that means?
No.
I bet you don't.
No.
Well, it kind of means I love you, but it really means more than just that. It means you're like, I will surrender my happiness for you. I will give it you up my bus seat, but I won't let you share my food with me or something. It means.
Yeah. So is this your relationship in a nutshell or what?
Well, no. I also know hello. Yeah. See you. We're getting to the end of what I know.
Hello is see you?
She you.
Oh, she you.
She you.
She you. Okay, good. Thank you. Okay, now let's go on. Oh, pills. Now, there are all kinds of pills. There are brain pills. There are exercise pills coming up. You think you're going to use that when that comes around?
They're working on an exercise
pill.
They're also working on a pill that you take that will allow you to learn anything, basically. Learn a language the way, you know, a six-year-old learns a language, which is much better than the way we learn it.
What is that?
I can't wait because I hate... Well, They everybody kind of agrees. When I say everybody, I mean the scientists, of which I'm one, agree that the things that help your brain are physical exercise, reducing stress, and I can't remember the third.
Inducing or reducing?
Oh, inducing would be good. Causing stress in other people. Reducing stress and social engagement. And I forget where I'm... Oh, so I hate physical exercise because I like to sit down. I was hoping that they would say sitting down would... improve your brain, but it doesn't.
No.
No.
Oh, was there more to that? You're in the middle of...
I can't remember where.
Oh, okay. All right.
You?
All right. So anyhow, and then there's fish oil. Is that fish oil that people take?
Fish oil. I took fish oil because it was an easy thing to do, but fish oil is kind of on the downs now. I don't think they think fish oil as much. I took mental clarity pills because it was only $36 on Amazon. As I proved, they didn't do a thing.
Is that the same thing as the fish oil? Was that the same, the mental clarity? Was it actually just fish oil?
No, mental clarity is like anything they could find in the kitchen and they put it in a pill.
Okay. And perfect pitch pill, did you try that?
I didn't try that.
Yeah.
Did you?
No,
I didn't find it Amazon.
It's mentioned
where I shop.
It's mentioned in your book. Did you realize that or had you forgotten that?
Oh, I meant to read my book.
Because if you have perfect pitch, that would be an IQ thing, too, sir, wouldn't it? Or you get IQ points for that.
Well, you know. You've read my book.
Your book is about the strangest book on the subject. Okay. And blueberries.
Thank you.
Blueberries.
blueberries are good for you, of course. Chocolate's good for you. But then I thought, I'd rather be stupid than fat, so I gave up on the chocolate. Chocolate's good for you. Blueberries are good for everything. It turns out that the same things that are good for your heart and everything else are good for your brain. So
Let me ask you this.
Eat blueberries. Eat salmon, dead, obviously.
Yeah. Because they're still experiencing life, as we know.
Right. Yeah. And don't frown, because they'll know as you're taking it.
Yeah. So, the Guggenheim grant that you got, was it after this book came out or before?
Just before, the day before. And I made sure that they couldn't take it back.
And then explain to me what Lumosity is.
Lumosity is a company that most people, you were really smart, because most people, even that work there, call it Luminosity.
Yeah.
And they're a gigantic company. They're in more countries than exist in the world. And everybody I know does their brain exercise. And all sorts of games. And at first you feel terrible because you get a really, really low mark. And then you do it for a long time. I told you I'm a cheater, so I would cheat. If I was doing badly on a game, I would start again. I would pretend that my connection didn't work or something. And you get very good at Lumosity if you keep doing it. And you get so good you want to brag to people who don't care what your Lumosity score is.
Yeah. So what is it that you're looking at?
Oh, you're doing things like... my favorite, a really hard one is they have little raindrops with arithmetic equation problems in it, and you have to quickly answer them all before the raindrops fall. And it's things that you know, but a lot, I like to time things. You have to remember mazes. You have to get a penguin to the iceberg in a maze that keeps revolving.
Oh.
You have to... sadly, the one I did best at was the one where you were a waitress and you had to remember what horrible foods everybody ordered. what else did they have? I don't know. Lots.
Okay, so that's Lumosity.
Penguins that you have to get, not penguins, frogs. Frogs that you have to get on the brown frog on the brown rock, the green frog on the green. Am I boring you with Lumosity?
Yes? Only very slightly.
Okay.
Let me ask you this, then. Let's go to something slightly different.
I can do better.
No. Larger breast to waist ratio. How does that come into play?
Well, it turns out that there are all sorts of weird things. Women who have large breasts compared to their waist score higher on cognitive tests than do less curvaceous types. And
is there any explanation for that, or we just take that on faith?
You know, I think the answer is always evolution, but I don't know how that would... It's always evolution or in brain things you can say protein, and that works a lot.
Yeah.
Or
so you're saying that breasts have grown larger over the years for cognition purposes?
No, I'm going to guess that it has something to do with they... No, that doesn't make any sense.
Can you finish it before?
You just have to trust me on that. No, it does have something, maybe, you know, childbearing, you know, they're better at childbearing, but I don't know.
Yeah. Let me ask you this. Were you able to meditate? You don't seem meditative.
I can meditate. I hate meditation.
Yeah.
It was making me anxious. Can you meditate?
No, I'm terrible at it.
But, you know, and don't you kind of suspect that all the people that they say they meditate get together and just say, let's just tell them it's really good for themselves.
Yeah.
So that they'll just get out of your way. You'll get out of their way.
Well, I even took, like, yogic meditation, you know, and, you know, the 1,000-petaled lotus.
Uh-huh.
Not one petal. I didn't get, like, one petal didn't open up for me.
I paid a woman a lot of money to teach me how to meditate, and she gave me a raisin, and she said, just, you know, study the raisin, and if you study the raisin, then you will know all there is to know about everything.
Yeah, yeah.
That is a big if.
I know. At least you didn't cut your cat in half with a sword or something. You know,
at least I didn't do that yet. Is that what you did?
No, but, you know, it can lead to that. They do have this thing now.
Thank God I got out of that meditating racket in time.
Yeah, it saved your cat. I saw on a magazine, there is a meditation feedback headphone that you can wear that supposedly gives you, when you're supposed to go into your meditation thing, and every time you think about something else, a buzzer goes off, which has got to be counterproductive.
It is, yeah. Except for the buzzer, I guess.
Yeah.
There, and then I even in my book, as you know, because you read it, which is something I haven't done, I have a list of words that you have to figure out if they're mantras or Indian bread.
Oh, I love that. That's my favorite part of the whole book.
Mm-hmm. I flunked. I have a lot of quizzes in my book, and I can't do any of them.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't do any of them either, so that's okay.
Yeah.
The difference between mantras and types of Indian bread. Can you give us some examples? Because this is really a cool notion.
Okay. Let's see if you can figure them out, because
okay.
I can't.
Okay.
What is Kheema Naan? It's an easy one.
Type of bread.
Right. What is Ram Nam?
Type of bread.
Mantra.
Oh.
What is Shyam?
Bread.
Mantra. I could be...
I'm just going to say bread every time, so I'm right there.
Okay. Let's see how good you are.
Yeah.
Aloo Paratha.
Obviously bread.
Right, correct.
Okay, that's enough for me. I think I made my case.
Getting so smart.
I am getting so smarter. You know, isn't it ironic that as you age, you've accumulated a vast trove of knowledge that you can no longer access. That's the most frustrating.
You have a smartphone.
Yeah, I can put it on the smartphone, but you know,
well, no, you
still got to learn how to work the thing.
There is an optimistic theory, which I like to believe, that says the reason we're getting stupider is that we're actually getting so smarter, that we're inundated. We know so much.
Right.
It's like a drawer where you put so much junk that you can't find the laundry receipt. So it's really time to unlearn things.
Yes.
Spring
and season. Put our receipts somewhere else, I think. You learn these little tricks. You put your receipt, you just leave it in your hand.
Yeah.
And clutch it at all times, and you always have your receipt. They get pretty water, you know, logged and stuff.
But you have it.
Patty Marks, thank you so much. The book is Let's Be Less Stupid.
Thank you.
And thank you for the Rugrats. We loved it. Patty Marks, get the book. She's Patricia now, but get it anyway. Okay. Okay. No. Drop. I put her on hold, and I... You can figure that out, can't you? Wow. Lyle Anderson, ladies and gentlemen, the man there you see behind the booth. Do not tap on the booth. Do not tap on his glass because it arouses him.
Don't feed him either.
Don't feed him.
No.
Well, you can't. There's a glass there. So, okay, hi.
Hi.
Okay. Jeff, you too. Hi.
Hey, Michael.
Hey, hi.
Jeff says hi, Michael.
Hey. Hey, Jeff.
Hey.
John?
He says hey.
Yeah. Any gigs coming up you want to promote? Or?
Well, we got a gig today, but it's...
Yeah. Oh, what is it?
Well, it's a private thing, but...
Private thing. What is it?
Habitat for Humanity, little...
Habitat for Humanity. Where?
At Discovery World in Milwaukee on the lakefront.
Really? Are you playing at a building site?
We're playing in a tent, actually.
In a tent? At a building site?
No, I don't think it's at a building site.
Okay.
It's not my gig, but...
What time and...
Well, it's not a public...
I know, but what time?
Later this afternoon.
At a building site? On the lakefront in Milwaukee? Down at the lake?
Yeah.
Yes. Jeff has something he wants to add.
I'll be playing after that.
Jeff will be playing after that.
He'll be playing after that.
At 9 p.m.
At the County Clare. County Clare.
Oh, he's flying to Ireland.
In Milwaukee.
In Milwaukee, sorry.
Yeah, County Clare is a nice place, isn't it? Yeah. Okay. All right, so in this tune here, John, it's a very interesting story about this.
Yes, very interesting.
Yeah.
Really, really interesting.
Yeah. Tell it, won't you?
Fascinating, really.
Yeah.
What it is.
What are you playing? Yeah. This song really opened a lot of people's minds to what jazz could be, I think.
Yeah, actually, it did.
It really did.
Yeah.
It really did.
It's from the, the Peanuts cartoon thing.
From the Peanuts cartoon thing, which is a high IQ builder, by the way. Peanuts always was. Yeah.
It's the Great Pumpkin Waltz.
The Great Pumpkin Waltz. John Tooling, Jeff Hammond on the bass.
Once once again, it's Michael Feldman.
Because I'm just saying, when John tends to vamp on a little thing, whatever you call it, it's from a totally different song, like cartoon theme or something like that. Or, you know, Raindrops and Roses, when he's playing some other song. You know, you go to something, right? Am I right? Yes. Never mind, you had to be here to understand. And even then, you wouldn't understand. Becky Douglas, are you my dad? Becky Douglas, Rockford, Illinois. I've been to Rockford. I was, you know, I took a tour of the screw plant in Rockford, Rockford Screw. But that's a stretch. Becky Douglas, Becky Douglas. Hi, Becky Douglas. I don't know. You look strangely familiar. And yet I don't believe we've met. Just stand up here a second. Is this your water? I can knock that over too. There we go. Don't stand up here a second. What do you think? Okay. I'm going to deny it in court. I don't care. Yeah.
Understood.
Yeah. What brings the question?
Actually, that was a little bit of a disingenuous question.
You didn't think I was your dad.
No, my husband actually was the author of that one.
Oh, you did.
There's no truth to that.
Yeah, where did that come from on your part?
She always asks that question.
You're always thinking about it.
No. No.
Yeah, he says you do.
I really don't.
He says you really do. I don't want to get in on this issue here because I'm at the center of it. So, yeah. And this other thing, your retired escort?
No.
You're not going to tell me that was him, too.
It really was.
That was not me.
I think there should be a screening system for these cards. I don't think this is a title.
This is it. We got to go there. And thank you.
Right enough system, I think.
Well, thank you for clearing it up.
Thank you.
Not your dad, and you never worked as an escort. Okay, too bad. I thought we had a really interesting conversation there. Otherwise, Elaine Hernandez from Monona. Oh, that's you. Okay. Your nearest guest may be behind you, ladies and gentlemen, so be careful. Did you stand up here? Oh, well, got you to stand up here? Yes, from San Antonio, right? And Monona. Yeah.
Hello. Good morning.
Hi, how are you?
What do you got there?
Oh, your phone? Okay.
I had my video camera with me.
Yeah, it's supposed to be on aeroplane setting.
Well, that's what you say.
Yeah.
Do you have an aeroplane setting on your phone? Do you use it when you're on an aeroplane?
No.
Okay. They don't ever put their phone on. What's the point? They're going to hear your phone going off on an airplane. You think so?
It makes the plane crash because magic waves go through the wings. I don't know.
Get back up here. I wasn't done with you, young lady. So if you don't put on airplane, the plane will crash. If your phones are not all in the airplane setting. Okay, thank you. I didn't even realize that. You should write a book now because she could do that based on adventure. But all it says on your card is adventure.
That's all it matters, adventure.
Are you into adventure?
Yes.
On all levels?
That's way to be seen, yeah. Why don't you ask these beautiful ladies about it?
Yeah, yes, I know, but yes. You said adventure.
Yes, all kinds of stuff.
What do you do?
Well, I travel whenever I can. I live where two places.
You live in Monona, adventurous Monona. San Antonio, I could see adventure down there. That'd be cool.
And just enjoy being all over the place, the world. Next big trip will be Machu Picchu.
Machu Picchu, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I'm sure some of you have been there, but...
No, my daughter was there.
Lake Titicaca?
Yeah. So. She got a tattoo on the way up to Machu Picchu. It was my daughter, she could write adventure on her card, too, I guess.
Yeah. Yes.
Are you a type A?
Well, what would you say? No, I don't think so.
No? I mean, do you do, like, extreme sports kind of thing?
I've done a triathlon before. A sprint one, though.
A quadathlon, that would be extreme.
She does extreme tubing.
Extreme tubing. What would that be?
Well,
something involving a tube.
Well, yeah, down the Wisconsin River. We've done, this wonderful group has done, was, we
that
do
that
it every year.
Tubing?
No.
Did you go past Maze of Maney?
I have been there, yes, yes.
Say no more. We know where this adventure leaves. Thank you, Elaine Hernandez. Her middle name is Adventure. Elaine Adventure Hernandez from Monona and San Antonio. No, not too many people can say that. What?
I was just getting wound up here.
It's time
okay,
for
so
the quiz.
I'll wind it up, I guess. That means that basketball thing there means you better shoot. If the ball should be in the air at that point when you hear that. We will, yes, sir, come on up here if you would. My biggest fan, because he's got the shirt. The one who bought this shirt for the 20th anniversary, and you said you had the 30th, too.
The 30th, yes. I come once every 10 years and buy a new T-shirt.
Yeah. Do you have any other shirts of the show?
That's it. Okay. That's it.
And you are?
Paul Larson from La Crosse, Wisconsin.
From La Crosse, and you're in what?
I'm teaching physics at Viterbo University.
Physics. And right now in physics, what physical thing are you going through?
I'm doing some new research and trying to understand some magnetic materials.
Did you bring them with you, any magnetic materials with you?
I left them there. They didn't let me take them with
me.
Okay, great. All right, so these are the four disclaimers. Number one, all questions used on What Do You Know have been painstakingly researched, although the answers have not. Ambiguous, misleading, or poorly worded questions are par for the course. Listeners who are sticklers for the truth should get their own shows. Number two, the Australian man who survived a week in the outback on ants now says he prefers them. Number three, persons employed by the International House of Radio or its member stations are lucky to be working at all, let alone tying up the office phones trying to play the quiz. Listeners who have won recently should sit on their hands and let someone else have a chance for a change. Number four, all opinions expressed on What You Know are well-reasoned and insightful. Needless to say, they are not those of the International House of Radio, its member stations, or lackeys. Anyone who says otherwise is itching for a fight.
Well done.
Thank you.
Keep that. They don't want it back. No, keep that. Let's see the hands of those of you who want to try that hand at the What Do You Know quiz. It is a general knowledge quiz that no one ever loses. Yes, come on down here. Give you some idea of how difficult the quiz is. Only if you really annoy me, you lose. That hasn't happened in a while. How are you?
I'm fine.
And you are?
I'm Bob Sarr from Burlington, Iowa, the first capital of the territory of Wisconsin.
That's a little too much information, Bob.
I'm from
Iowa. I'm going to put that in my big deal folder, but I'll have to do that later, I guess. Now, Bob, what do you do out there?
I write newspaper stories for the Hawkeye newspaper, the oldest newspaper in Iowa.
The Hawkeye! Good man. Bob, give me one good reason you should play this quiz.
Because I'm from Iowa, and every time I leave Iowa to come to Wisconsin, the average IQ of both states goes way up.
All right, Bob, you sound qualified. Come on, come on, that was a very good effort. Come on. Don't malinger.
Michael. I meant to say it goes way down.
Right. I wasn't really listening anyway. So but I think
that's okay.
It was a good comment. I'm sure it was. It seemed like it.
I'd like to embarrass my brother.
Something you thought about. Your brother? Is your brother here?
My brother is right there. It's my brother Jesse.
Hey, bro. Jesse?
It's his 70th birthday today.
Oh. Get you a bottle of wine. We'll get you a bottle of wine, Jesse.
Where's my headset?
Your headset? Here. It's on the stuffed emu.
Thank you.
Don't you know anything about radio? Where would a headset be?
Yeah, there's a right-wing radio guy in Burlington that calls me up at 7 in the morning all the time.
He calls you?
Yeah. Yeah, because he knows I'm a liberal.
Oh, yeah? And he asks you something.
And he wants to have a fair and balanced program.
Yeah, being conservative. Yes. They do that.
Yeah.
So, Bob, what's your column about, generally speaking?
Well, I don't have a column anymore. I just write entertainment features.
They took it away from you?
Yes, they did.
Because it was just you and your thoughts.
Yeah, because I stopped writing about technology and just started writing about Dave Barry and you and people like that.
I never saw it. I wish you would have got a few clippings around that I can.
Yeah, they're all online. You can find them all.
Yep. So now you're the technology. You're the radio, TV, and there's not radio anymore, is there?
I have a radio.
Yeah.
In my car.
No kidding.
You don't look anything.
What year is that?
When you're in my car, you don't look the way you do right now.
No, of course not.
Okay.
And did you get the cassette with that? Cassette player?
I did, yes. I have a cassette player in
my
car.
And you play things when you drive?
Sure do.
What do you play when you drive?
Well, I'm also a musician, which
would help.
I play mandolin and harmonica are a couple of things I play, so I'll put a harmonica in a rack.
No, you don't. Do
yes,
you?
Yes, I do, and I practice harmonica while I drive.
That is such a bad idea. I mean, not having a harmonica rack. I think every harp player, as I like to call them, should have a rack. But I don't, while you're driving.
It's harder with the mandolin.
All right, that's a good point.
Okay.
Your point is well taken. Did you bring them, either your rack or your harp or your...
No, but one of the things that this is the first time I've ever seen your show, and these two guys are two of the best musicians.
They are.
I've heard, I love...
Two of the best musicians on this stage.
Absolutely.
John alone is two of the best musicians. He's the equivalent of two of the best musicians.
Yeah, his left hand.
His left hand.
Yeah.
He's got two of them.
That's
a little known fact about it. That's
his left foot.
And do you play like in a band? Do you play regular or irregular?
I play with people now. I don't play as much as I used to. I don't
well,
do
who
it
does?
For a living anymore.
Yeah. Okay. Well, come on, nice to have you here, Bob.
Thank you.
And someone out there plays along with you. And how does that work then?
If people want to play the quiz, they're going to pick up the phone and dial 800-942-5669 and answer this qualifying question.
Okay, it's a percentage thing. It's within about, 10%? Should do it? Okay, sorry. Not to get your attention. We want to know the percentage of shirt tuckers. What? Oh, the percentage of shirt tuckers who are happier on the job than non-tuckers. This is from Fruit of the Loom. It makes no sense. Just give me a percentage. Okay, it's the percentage of shirt tuckers, people who tuck in their shirts, who say they are happier on the job than non-tuckers of shirts. I don't know. Just give me a number and I'll give it to you. Let's go to Brian's in Taipei, Taiwan. Brian, who's paying for this call?
I am.
You are, huh? Well, let's stay in line for a while. Or how's the weather in Taipei right now?
Just a little bit of rain. A little typhoon went by.
Yeah. And what are you doing out there, Brian?
I teach at an English language school.
Oh, yeah. We know each other, don't we?
I don't know. I may have called when I was in college in Wisconsin in the 80s. But
Okay. And how's your Mandarin? Pretty good?
Hi, Hal.
Okay.
It's okay.
Brian, let me ask you this. Percentage of shirt tuckers who are happier on the job than non-tucking co-workers?
Now, this is people who tuck their own shirts, not people who tuck other people's shirts.
I didn't know there were such people. Well, all right. In junior high school, tuck your shirt in, mister, but then if he did it for you, he would be arrested, so... The well-named vice principal, you know, none of those guys. So, Brian, what do you say? What percentage?
Well, let's go with 62%.
Exactly right. It's like 60%. It is 60%.
Really? So,
that was freaky good. Okay, Brian, you're a good match here with Bob, I believe. Bob?
Hi, Brian.
Hi, Bob.
How you doing? I was in Taipei once.
Yeah, there you go. See? Knew it.
I sat in the airport for 4 hours.
Okay. Cool.
That was it.
Yeah,
end of story?
That's just, too.
That was it. Yeah.
Okay. Your stories are like dead ends, almost all.
No, actually, I was flying to Hanoi.
Oh, cool.
And it was 1994. Uh-huh. And I was the videographer for a bicycle tour from Hanoi to Saigon. Before we recognized him as a country.
Hmm.
So we were the first Americans to go through.
Yeah, I knew you were secretly a real interesting guy. It's just a question of getting at it. That's really amazing. Okay, so Brian, Bob, you are a team right now. You work together. It's collaborative. And let's run up his bill as much as possible.
Okay.
What categories do we have there, Stephanie Lee?
The categories are current events, people, places, things you should have learned in school had you been paying attention, science, and odds and ends.
All right, Brian, what would you like? It's your dime.
Well, let's go with people first.
People, okay. People. How long have you been there in Taipei, Brian?
25 years.
Okay. Well, getting used to it then?
Yeah.
Okay, if like Paul Ryan, you demanded a work-life balance in your job, are you better off being a risk analyst or a substitute teacher? This is a new field now, you know, work-life balance. People want work. They want a balance with having something called a life, which I seem to remember having. So are you better off being a risk analyst if you want a good work-life thing or a substitute teacher?
Are you talking to Brian?
I'm talking to both of you.
Oh. Hi, Brian.
Yeah, Bob, I'm thinking a risk life analyst has to do work all the time, and a substitute teacher probably doesn't get to work all the time.
Yeah.
So they might have more time to be with their family.
Sub? Right. Oh, substitute teacher because they're a freelancer and they can call in
okay,
sick.
Good. Okay. Sub, yes. Congratulations. That's one right.
One right.
Okay.
And the remaining categories are current events, places, things you should have learned in school, science, or odds and ends.
All right, Bob, you're on.
Well, let's get the current events over with.
Current events, let's get them. Yes,
it's
I know.
It's Brian with a
that.
Y, by the way, ladies and gentlemen.
Okay. Thank you for that, Bob. It's Bob with an
O. I'm just trying to help.
Well, I'm not an ah in the middle of Bob.
My parents were dyslexic. Okay. That's why they named me Bob.
So how close is close regarding the Halloween asteroid that's coming close? How close is close? How close is it going to get? They say it's close on Halloween. Asteroid coming. It's going to be close to the Earth. How close is close? Talk it over, Brian and Bob.
In miles or light years?
It's not light years. It's,
okay.
Come on.
Well, the moon's like about 225,000 miles, right? Mm-hmm. And Mars is further than that.
Yeah.
So it's somewhere between Mars and the moon.
Okay. So, Brian, you want to weigh in on this?
So if it's outside the moon, maybe they wouldn't make the news.
Yeah.
But if it was closer than the moon, then maybe it would become news.
Oh, definitely. For sure it'd become news.
Yeah, big news.
I think it's probably going to come somewhere between Mars and Jupiter. But what that is in miles, I just...
Well...
Don't know.
How far is the...
Can I ask my brother? He's smarter than
No.
That seems pretty far, Bob. I'm thinking closer to the moon.
To the moon, okay. So the moon was... Well, we would say the moon was 225,000?
Yeah, well, I'm saying he's... Okay.
Yeah, he said it's Brian closer to the moon, maybe a little outside of the moon, so what were you going to say?
Yeah, that's pretty easy.
300,000 miles, something like that?
No, Brian said that my guess was
Brian?
Pretty far. His is pretty close, so can't we go with one of those? Like pretty close.
Do you want to win? Do you want to lose?
So we only have time
for this last question. You get this right, you
pretty close.
300,000. Yes, is right. Congratulations. You win the aborted.
Bob, you smell breakfast time fresh with a bottle of bacon body wash, clear meaty liquid soap from Archie McPhee, and Brian with a Y. You've won Steep and Brew's breakfast blend coffee, lively and satisfying for that first wake up cup. And later in the day, relax with smooth and sweet Costa Rican Terrazu from Madison's Steep and Brew Coffee. Coffee done right. Congratulations to both of you.
Thanks, Bob.
Join us for our next live broadcast of What Do You Know here at Monona Terrace on Saturday, November 7th.
Thanks,
our special guest will be
UW Professor
John Hawks. Information on tickets is available at notmuch.com. Michael Feldman's What Do You Know is produced by Wisconsin Public Radio for PRI, Public Radio International. Michael Feldman, Producer International. This is PRI, Public Radio International.
I don't know, can you see it? Just keep playing it. Does that mean we're on or off?
Live from the Monona Terrace Community and Convention Center, it's Michael Feldman's What Do You Know from Wisconsin Public Radio and PRI, Public Radio International. That's John Tulin on piano, Jeff Hammond on bass, and I'm Stephanie Lee.
Where?
In this hour of What Do You Know, we swing with a performance from Susie Blue and the Lonesome Fellows. Plus, thanks for the memos and more of the What Do You Know quiz. Support for What Do You Know comes from PRI affiliate stations and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. And now, the man who already misses Garrison, Michael Feldman.
Oh, hello there. Hello again. Fine, thanks. How are you? Pretty good then? Okay. All right. So, you know, in this point in time, yes, we do a little thing I like to call thanks for the memos, which is there are memos that people send in and I thank them for them. And this one here is, I don't know, you tell me what this means. Hi, everyone. I tossed out 4 unclaimed toothbrushes, a bunch of half-used toothpaste, and a few other gross things that we will never speak of again. The top shelf in both bathroom cabinets is for our toiletry supplies, toilet paper, towels, soap, air freshener, cleaning wipes, first aid care, tampons. The lower shelves can be used to store your personal items. Please put your name on your items, maybe even store them in a bag or case or something, so they're not sitting out being icky. I found a number of personal toiletry items that could belong to someone here or be a remnant of someone from the past. I put them on the kitchen table. Please take them if they belong to you or you want them. Otherwise, I will toss them out later today. A bathroom reading material, subhead. I know I've said this before, but reading materials in an office bathroom are just not cool. It's not professional. And it communicates the wrong message to clients visiting the studio, visiting the bathroom, actually, more than the studio, I would think, saying, we're lazy people who hide in the bathroom and read on someone else's dime. Yeah, everyone knows you're doing something else while reading, which is an image we don't need conjured up. It's not professional. So while we're doing all this heavy lifting to rebrand the studio, let's remind the studio staff itself says a lot about who we are to visitors. I really don't think it makes any difference if it's a client, a rep, a potential collaborator, like primary, like someone here, or a job applicant. It's just not the message we want connected with us. So if you have reading material on hand, please hide it inside the cabinet and toss it out when you're done so we don't have a bunch of paper taking up space. Thanks, Diane. Well, thank you very much for that memo on what being professional in the bathroom means. I guess if you can be professional in the bathroom, you can be professional anywhere. Don't you feel, Stephanie?
I think that's, yeah.
Where do you come down on this reading material?
I don't keep bathroom. Any reading material in the bathroom personally, but I know people who
at
do.
Home?
That's right. I don't judge
well,
either
doesn't,
way.
Well, it doesn't take you a long time like some of us. It takes, you know.
Maybe this is more than.
It can relax into it. Yeah. You have to relax. At a certain age, you need material to relax into it, whatever it is.
John's got his ears covered behind you.
That's good. That's why I'm looking at you.
More than I wanted to divulge.
We had, you know, in my family, we had National Geographics stacked up on the toilet tank, which was both good and bad as a child. Anyway,
it's a good magazine.
Go ahead.
Oh, sure. So if people want to send those memos in, where should they send them?
Yes, no, you tell me.
They can send those memos to whatdoyouknow at WPR.org, subject line memos, or go to notmuch.com and post it there.
Yeah. And I got this here, the Bill of Rights version 2.0. This was just released by the House Committee on the Bill of Rights. They're redoing them. So here it is, Bill of Rights version 2.0, Congress, number one. Congress shall make no law abridging the freedom of guns. 2, the right of the people to keep, bear, and use at will guns shall not be infringed. 3, guns shall be taken to mean any such controlled explosive projectile devices now or in the future, including those of enormous killing power currently inconceivable. 4, the rights of the people to secure their guns and ammunition against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated upon pain of protected return fire. 5, no person acting within rights enumerated here shall be held to answer for a capital or otherwise infamous crime committed by guns, whether in war, peace, or domestic life. let alone be tried for it twice. Six, in all criminal prosecutions involving guns, the accused shall be considered acting in self-defense, enjoying the protection of the above and following amendments, unless proven otherwise. Seven, in suits of common law, where the value of the guns in controversy shall exceed $20, the right of trial by jury of gun-owning peers shall be preserved. Eight, in gun cases brought to trial despite these protections, bail shall not be required, fines imposed, nor cruel and unusual punishments inflicted. Nine, the enumeration in the Constitution of certain inalienable rights to guns shall not be construed to deny or disparage other implied rights of weaponry of all sorts retained by the people. And ten, the limited powers not specifically delegated to the United States by the Constitution are reserved to the people and their common good sense. There you have it. Bill of Rights 2.0, coming soon to a country near you. All right, and then let's see, at this point, what do we usually do? Oh, yes, oh, this is exciting. This is exciting. Susie Blue and the Lonesome Fellas. You may have seen Susie Blue and the Lonesome Fellas wandering around here, wondering, well, isn't that Susie Blue and the followed by the Lonesome Fellas? They are. They're headquartered in Chicago, and Solitaire Miles actually is Susie Blue, if you wanted to know. Trained in opera. And grew up, actually, when she began performing, Johnny Frigo in Chicago, very famous Johnny Frigo, Von Freeman, Doc Cheatham, great cast of characters, and went into Western Swing. Ladies and gentlemen, would you welcome, please, to the What Do You Know stage, Susie Blue and the Lonesome Fellas. There's the Lonesome Fellas. Hey, fellas. Susie Blue, Solitaire, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm really good. Now, and so you come from an opera background, really?
Well, actually, my grandmother was a jazz and a swing singer.
Oh, she was.
But she wanted me to learn to sing correctly, so when I went to college, they made sure I learned proper singing.
Yeah.
But I went back to jazz after a while.
Yeah, yeah. And was it always country swing?
No, actually, the country swing is a new thing. Neil and I have been working together in our jazz groups for many years in Chicago, mm-hmm. and we wanted to try something new, and we thought Western swing is close, but it's a little different.
Yeah.
Not a lot of folks up here north of the Mason-Dixon line are doing it.
Yeah. Would you like to introduce the Lonesome Fellas and tell us why they're lonesome? Each one individually?
I can try. We have Neil Alger on guitar, who's been working with me for many years here in Chicago. Neil leads a lot of jazz groups, and he also does a lot of different groups like pop and rock. He's very versatile.
Yeah.
And
Neil.
We have our wonderful... And we have our wonderful pedal steel guitarist here, T.C. Furlong, who also performs with us and on our album. T.C. was with a wonderful Western swing band from the 1980s, you might remember, called the Jump in the Saddle Band, and their big hit was the Curly Shuffle. Does anybody remember
Curly
that?
Shuffle.
Curly Shuffle. It was one of the first country Western videos on MTV in 1983 when MTV first started out. So he is a pioneer of American music here, and we're very proud to have him. And we have, I can call you Washboard Ben, or Benjamin Brundage here on percussion, otherwise known as Washboard Ben here in Chicago.
That's the smallest drum I've ever seen. That's
know,
the smallest drum I've ever
something?
Seen.
It's a small
you tower
thing.
Over your drum. And what's this number going to be, Susie?
This tune is one of the more popular songs from our new album. It's called You Can't Break My Heart. And it was originally written and recorded by the great Spade Cooley.
Sounds great.
Thank you.
just like you. A broken-hearted man's can be broken again. That may sound hard-hearted, but it's true. Now I've played the game of love and broken hearts. Thought I'd warn you from the start that you can't break my heart. It's been broken before.
You can't listen to Western swing and not smile. You know, it's almost impossible not to smile.
It, it sure is.
It's feel good. The real feel good music. Wonderful. And that was You Can't Break My Heart. Whose song is that?
Spade Cooley.
Yeah, Spade Cooley. Going back to when? The 50s, maybe?
Oh, gosh, no. I think Spade Cooley started writing material in 1939, 1940.
Oh, yeah. That.
And he was one of the larger Western swing bands who incorporated a lot of horns. Mm-hmm. He had several, he had a whole horn section in the group. Yeah. And, you know, swing was the predominant music form in the late 1930s. And as it traveled around the United States, it picked up a flavor from, you know, from Los Angeles became L.A. Western swing and New York became New York swing. Mm-hmm. And when it went down to the Southwest, it became Western swing. So its roots are very, very close to jazz and traditional swing.
Yeah, I love it. That was a great song, by the way. And your voice is wonderful, I should add. What an instrument. What an instrument. Is there, and what about a pedal? What's not to love about a pedal steel? Especially when T.C. Furlong is playing it, ladies and gentlemen. That's an amazing machine. Who invented the pedal steel? Did someone actually invent that or it just happen?
Bud Isaacs was the guy.
Bud Isaacs.
A country and swing player from the 40s.
Yeah, and that wasn't invented until the 40s?
Well, it was a non-pedal steel before the
40s. Non-pedal. There was a steel guitar, but the pedals were his idea. What a good idea. Amazing. It's so cool. I love the song. What you got for us here?
Well, this next song we'd like to do for you is on our new album. And it's not exactly a traditional Western swing, but it was a very big hit for two wonderful performers in the early 1950s, Kay Starr and Tennessee Ernie Ford.
No kidding.
And Kay Starr is a wonderful singer. She sings jazz and swing and Western and popular music. And it also features our guitar player, Neil, here, singing with me.
Yeah, okay, good.
So Neil's making his national debut today as a singer.
No pressure.
Satisfy this longing in me. I'll never be free from your smile so tender, the sweet surrender in your eyes.
How can I be free when I still remember how you could thrill me with a sigh?
Slave to you,
I'll never be free.
Mm-hmm.
we're apart. Each kiss I gave to you
made me a slave to you,
and so I'll never be free. I'll never be free.
Susie Blue and the Lonesome Fella.
You're listening to Michael Feldman's What Do You Know from Wisconsin Public Radio and PRI, Public Radio International. Ladies and gentlemen, once again, Michael Feldman.
I got the playing cards. Susie Blue playing cards. Oh, it's all the same picture. I was hoping there was a variety of poses, but that's... Very nice. Cowgirls are my thing. I never met one. but I've been waiting for them. That's really great. The new CD is called Itself Named. So it's Susie Blue and the Lonesome Fellas. Look for it. Get the CD and check them out online there and figure out how to get that. And where's my microphone?
You take it and you don't give it back.
It's Jeff. Jeff. Okay. Can you guess my profession just by looking at me? Three tries, no hints, Nikki. Nikki? Okay. I'll go over and look at you, Nikki. Guess your profession. All right, stand up for a second. I want to get the lighting right here. Can you stand up? The lighting is over here. Back of the room. Molecular biologist?
Nope.
Okay. Librarian.
You got it.
I got it. What do I win?
That lovely book you were looking at earlier, the black and pink one.
The what?
You won the book.
I won a book?
Yeah, the book that you were...
Patty Marks' book?
Yeah.
I already have it.
Like I said, you won.
Did you want it? I'll give it...
Okay.
Okay. sit down, will you? Okay. See, I didn't want to say librarian's number one because I thought, well, everyone's going to say librarian because you got glasses and stuff and you look intelligent. You look really intelligent. So I said molecular biologist. I pulled that one out of, I don't know where I pulled that out of. Okay. Gail Jones, Delafield, Wisconsin. Grew my own tomatoes this year and brought one for you.
Oh.
Oh, man.
And there it is.
Don't throw it because it'll... I don't need sauce. I don't need tomato sauce. I can use just one little, these little ones.
Not many left this time of the year.
Now, was it a good crop?
It was an excellent crop.
All cherry tomatoes?
No, I have some big ones about this big and some medium ones.
You couldn't bring me one of those?
Some of them had...
What are you going to do with
this? Oh, when you taste that, you'll see it's worth it, even though it's very tiny.
Juicy. Oh, it's delicious. Very delicious. No one's sitting in this seat. Seat four, whatever row this would be if they had. Thank you, though. It's very tasty. I'll just leave this here for later. Finish it. Remind me that it's there. Have you got a napkin?
I don't.
No, okay.
You have a tissue in your pocket, don't you?
Oh, hell, I gotta wash them sometime. I've been trying to put it off as long as possible. All right, that was very good. Anything else? Any produce for me here? No, I don't need your whatever that is. I'm sure it's clean, but it's too weird for you to even offer me that to me. Bob.
A handkerchief, Michael.
Has he always been like this, Jesse? Yeah? Yeah? Oh, geez. Okay. So there wasn't an accident, a head injury of any sort along the way?
There may have been one or two, Michael, way, way back.
Thank you. Yeah, here is your card turns up. And how do you like that? Bob Sarr, Burlington, Iowa, entertainment journalist and guitarist. Why did I dress like my brother today? Okay, I don't even care. Tom Rice, Cortez, Colorado. Where is Tom Rice? Okay, this is fairly complicated. You're talking about the hearings now?
Correct.
The guy who's running the hearings, Gowdy?
Yes.
Okay, well, I'll let you say it, so I don't get it. I'm in enough doo-doo. No more room in my doo-doo pile. You're supposed to put that in airplane mode or the plane crashes.
Yes.
What are you looking at there?
I'm looking at my iPhone.
But what are you trying to get from it during this entertainment extravaganza?
Distraction.
Were you brought here under duress?
I was brought here to be in a meeting that's down the hall.
Oh, you're in the... Oh, so you just wandered in here. Did you pay?
Oh, I paid.
Okay. You're at the... What is... You got the coupon. Keep this coupon, and you kept it.
Yes.
Good man. A lot of people throw away those keep this coupon because they don't like being told, you know.
Well, I'll put this in my scrapbook, my hope chest.
Yeah. You're here. What is this across the hall here? It looks pretty serious.
It's a psychiatric meeting down the hall.
Can we sit in on that? What is that about?
Sure, if you pay the price. It's a little more for seniors than coming in here.
So what's the gist of it?
Diverse. Diverse topics.
Okay. But what were they, when you walked out, what were they talking about?
They were talking about stimulation of the brain for depression.
You're in the right place here. Looks like it got to you, too, because you look pretty... Oh, well, nice to meet you. Just, I won't mention that you were here in case you get in trouble for that. Okay. I forget why I was going down. All right, pretty good?
Doing great. Like
the shirt? Yours, too? Yours, not so much. Okay. How are you? Good to see you. Good. Oh, pardon me. I stepped on your thing there. I think it was your foot. It was at the end of your leg, whatever it was. How are you? Nice.
Good.
Okay. Fine. Good. Okay. Any Halloween special things for Halloween?
We brought things for our daughter for Halloween here in Madison, but this is a present from my daughter to her mother for her birthday.
What is the present?
Coming to your show.
Oh, this! I thought, because you were patting her shoulder and you said that she was a present. What did you really want?
A new car.
What?
A new car.
A new car, okay. Cheaper, was it $8? Are we $8?
Well, my daughter bought it. I don't, you know, don't blame me.
I'm not blaming anybody, thank you for...
The student and the senior discount. It was practically free.
Is today your birthday?
Last week, yeah.
I suppose you expect a bottle of wine like everybody else.
Yeah, sure.
Bottle of wine.
Absolutely.
Aisle 6.
You can't go wrong with award-winning wines,
Dumain Dussac
and Prairie Fumé from the Waldersheim Winery.
Yeah, Prairie Fumé, that's a good one. Okay, and your name is?
Cindy.
Cindy. Happy birthday, Cindy. Why are you standing up, sir?
Good morning. How are you?
Okay. Some political comments here?
Go ahead. Yes,
you
sir. Make them. Yes, can you tell me, hold on, I need to put my glasses on. Sorry. Yeah, yes. Can you tell me when Representative Trey Gowdy left the role as that blonde-haired bully kid in the Harry Potter movies? Was he elected or was he just cast for that?
Yeah. Very good, very good. Okay, hey, what's your name so they can...
Tom Rice.
Okay, so when they're writing us, say... Those remarks by Tom Rice do not reflect Wisconsin Public Radio, National Public Radio, especially because we're on the other one, Public Radio International, and it's a good shirt, actually.
Thank you.
And you guys are all like a unit here, like a family unit, or?
Yes.
Yes?
Yes. Okay. Father, son, and friend.
The unit are you. You're the father. You're the tip of the triangle of the pyramid.
Yes. The point in the spirit.
Be your son?
No, this one is.
This one?
Yep, I'm a son. This is my friend.
You're the friend of a son.
Great. Yes, good, okay. Good to hear.
Okay. I can see a Venn diagram with maybe two circles intersecting. That they're all like that, aren't they?
Yes. Yes.
And you are?
Doug Hagen.
Because you're like the keystone of this particular unit of the audience here.
Right.
And what brings you here? Are you here usually?
I'm here visiting him and his brother and seeing the show.
He's going to school here?
He's working here. His brother goes to school here.
Okay. Jacob. You keep referring him to he. Does he have a name?
Zachary.
Zachary.
Yeah, Zach. Hi.
What are you doing and work-wise?
Working for a software company outside of Madison.
Oh. Is it anyone we would know?
Yeah, Epic.
I haven't heard of it. How do you spell it? E-P? E-P-O-C-H?
Yeah, sure.
Well, good luck with that. It could be. And are you working at all?
Same place.
Epoch?
Exactly.
Yeah, cool. Nice they're working. Nice to young people working these days. I'm going to look into that company and see if it's... all right, so we did that. Bettendorf, Pat Loss from Bettendorf. What did you have for dinner last night? Was it gluten-free? It might have been accidentally gluten-free. I can't remember what I had. Oh, yeah. I went out for lamb chops. Are they gluten-free? Pat Loss? So. Bettendorf? Bettendorf? Pat Loss? What?
She went across the way.
Back to the Quad Cities already? What's the big deal? Bettendorf, going once, going twice, okay. I always wanted to meet someone from Bettendorf. How about Kathy Brown from Green Bay? If the Grinch stole Christmas, where would he put it? Alan Carlson, I just did these in order because they're all so good. Alan Carlson, I didn't want to edit anybody out. Stoughton, he's a school bus driver. Can I water my garden with a fire hose? Can I put out a fire with my garden hose? Alan, driving a school bus has got to drive you crazy at a certain point. Where is Alan, school bus driver? Doesn't it drive you crazy, Alan? I had a day camp once. I had to pick up all the kids and drive them around in a school bus. It drove me crazy.
It does.
Yeah.
It's fun, though.
How do you combat the wanting to... Just drive into oncoming traffic. That because that'd be a terrible thing.
Suicidal thoughts occur. No, it's fun being with the kids. Kids are fun.
Kids are
if
fun.
You engage them, and I learned how to speak kid, which is.
Can you give us an example?
That got it, Mr. Osweiler.
Well, that proves my point. I guess they go crazy after a while. And where is your route?
I drive Monona Grove High School, pick up kids in Cottage Grove, and then I pick up 4K through 5th grade for Winnequa School in Monona, and then I pick up 7 kids in a 42-foot bus for a charter school in Monona.
You know, them charter schools, and that's all public money, too.
Right.
7 kids in a 42. Just keep that in mind, Governor Walker. Well, anyhow, and so that's, you got actually 3 different schools you work each day?
One school district, 3 different routes in the morning, and then I have 1 route in the afternoon where I take the Winnequa kids home.
What do you do on weekends? Just sit there and shake?
I do my ABCs.
Very nice. How about a bottle of wine?
Absolutely.
You're a school bus driver, man. Who deserves it more? Not on the job.
By the way, you and I go back to the Hotel Washington days.
We do. What do we do there?
I'm Alan John.
Yeah. You're what?
Alan John.
Alan
good
John.
Friend of Jim Packard.
Yeah.
We've met a number of times.
Oh, how are you, Alan John? Well, nice to meet you. Sorry you went crazy driving school bus, man, but I remember you. Did you give him the wine?
Yes. As the days grow shorter, savor the moment with wine from the Wollershine
precious
Winery.
Few. They dwindle down to a precious few.
I know. They're getting shorter.
Wine? This is radio. There's no bottles of wine.
Where are they? They're coming.
It's radio. Hey, you think there's a Lake Wobegon?
Yes. I know.
Yeah, sure there is. Well, then there's bottles of wine, too. What's your point?
My point is this is a fake.
It's not a fake. We can't give them the wine here because that would be incongruous. No, they're easily 21. Age is not a problem. Age of the wine could be a problem. What?
Can I say hi to my daughter in Charlottesville, Virginia?
Certainly not.
Ellen, I'm on the phone here with, what's his name?
You're not on the phone, number one. I don't have a problem with what's his name, because that's what I call everybody too.
Patricia Marks and I are of an age.
Yeah. I don't even know my name half time.
Yeah. No, yeah.
Right. Anything else? Why don't you pick up the phone and call her?
I should, shouldn't I? It's in my purse, it's on airplane.
And what's your name?
Liz Hickman.
Hey, Liz. How you doing?
Right, I'm doing fine.
Yeah, thanks, Connie. Normally, I have to keep an eye on her, but she got away this time.
Okay, all right. All right. No, she did fine. She's fine. Joan from Appleton, I do 87-year-old things. When should your boom bang be loose? What? What is a boom van?
Sailor. It's something on the sailboat.
It's loose when we tell her to loosen it.
Her boom van is loose when you tell her to loosen it.
I didn't write that.
Did you write all the cards in this thing?
I didn't actually write them, no.
What, do you use metal telepathy to jam people's minds?
It's those waves again.
A boom vang, just to clear this all up.
A boom vang fastens the boom to the base of the mast, and it pulls the boom tight when you're in heavy air, and you loosen it in light air.
All right, there's the boom vang.
I learned
Thank you very
something.
Much for that. Okay. Paul Larson. Oh, I got you already, Paul. Anything else? Can I take a selfie with you? Oh, yeah, come on. Paul read the four disclaimers. Selfie.
Got some nice photo bombing happening in the background as well.
You know, I've tried to take selfies, and I always miss at least one of the individuals in it. Sometimes it's only me. You know, so I take a selfie, and it's like whatever was over my shoulder. You know, you got to be a certain age to get the selfie thing, though. And I'm not getting a selfie stick. How many of you actually own a selfie stick? Applaud if you are the person who
Clap
owns a selfie
you're
stick.
Raising your hand. The one individual.
Why do you need a selfie stick? You're a young man. Wait a second. What?
It's for videoing. Me and my friend have a GoPro for ski videos, so you put it on. So it's not like the traditional iPhone selfie stick. You've
got a GoPro on the end of your selfie stick?
Yeah.
Can't say that too many times without wondering what I'm talking about. What do you need a GoPro for? Forget the selfie stick.
To make sweet ski movies.
You make sweet ski movies?
Yeah.
What kind of skiing are you doing?
Just downhill terrain park, like skiing through trees and stuff.
So instead of using your things that's supposed to keep you from crashing, those poles, taking GoPro videos of yourself on a selfie stick?
Sometimes. And sometimes I film hill, and sometimes you get a little, selfie action. Yeah. And I have wiped out due to lack of poles, so.
Do you expect people to understand your generation? It doesn't matter. I know it doesn't matter to you.
No.
And your name is?
Sam.
Keep it up, Sam. Don't hurt yourself. We're going to play the quiz. Is that okay? Do whatever you want. Just don't hurt yourself. That's all I worry about. I worry about all kids of every age. Because that's what I do. I miss having kids around that I can actually physically worry about, in the house every second. But so now I just worry about in general. Okay, here's a chance. So you didn't get a chance last time to play the quiz, and you thought, boy, I could have done... All right, I guess I'm talking about you. All right, so I never get to finish my very stirring speeches. How are you?
Good, thank you.
And you are?
Sheila Finnegan.
Sheila Finnegan, where are you from?
Wauwatosa, Wisconsin.
From Wauwatosa. Wauwatosa. And Wauwatosa's a nice place. I lived near Wauwatosa. I lived on 58th and Center, which is like four blocks. They wouldn't let us go into Wauwatosa, but we were that close we could actually, on our roof, you could see it.
Yeah. We like to wave once in a while to the other side. Yeah.
I mean, one good reason why she played this quiz.
Well, I have three good reasons. They're teenage daughters, and I'd like to show them I know something.
Like they're listening, right? Okay, come on. Come on, Ms. Finnegan. There are other Finnegans out of there. Okay.
Thank you.
Got your Finnegan going on? All right. These playing cards are going back with me, definitely. All right, excuse me, I did a little home housekeeping here to do here. All right, we're all good. Is it Shelley?
Sheila.
I'm sorry, because that's the one thing I do with names at this point. Sheila Finnegan, though, I remember that. Put that down there. And you're from Wauwatosa? Okay. How are you?
I'm well, thanks.
Yeah, what are you up to these days?
Well, I'm, like I said, have three girls at home. I'm also a freelance proofreader, copywriter.
Freelance proofreader. So you do like magazine articles?
Yeah, magazines? Retail mostly.
Mm-hmm. Retail? Mm-hmm. Like what retail of what?
Well, if you are a Kohl's Charge customer, ooh, you get those mailers in here, you know, every 3 days in your mailbox. That's
I got
me.
Kohl's Cash coming out of my ears.
I help do those.
Yeah, well, those are good.
Mm-hmm.
Kohl's Cash. That should be, you should be able to spend that in other places, though.
I agree. I'll bring that back to them. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I could tip, maybe like a tip in a restaurant in Kohl's Cash.
Yeah, go buy a shirt. Yeah.
$20 in Kohl's Cash. That's pretty cool. And then the kids are how old?
17, 16, and 12.
Wow. Mm-hmm. How'd you do that? Is that possible, physically possible to do that? I guess it must be.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. And what do you do for kicks when you're not working and you're not the kids or, you know?
Like the young man over there, my family likes to ski. We don't do the videos. We don't.
You ever got a GoPro yet?
No. 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 No, no. But we like that.
See, I would just mount it on my head or something like that if I had one.
A lot of people
But I never go anywhere, so it'd be very static. I might as well just get a camera up and put something on my head.
Mine would look like I was skiing in slow motion anyway, so I'm a very cautious skier. Yeah.
Okay. All right, so someone out there calls in. What?
They
You're
call
nodding,
in.
But I'm not. I'm
So if they
someone
want to.
Someone out there.
That's
does
right.
What?
Someone out there will call in to play the quiz. They're going to call 800-942-5669 and answer this qualifying question.
Then I need one of those, don't I? Thank you for tipping me off there just before that ended. Okay, another percentage thing now. So this is. Okay, take into account this is a British survey, okay, this question. I want to know the percentage of British males who would like to wear heels to work as a confidence builder. All right, so there's a few things to think about here now. British, okay. Wants to wear women's heels, high heels, to work as a confidence builder. Okay, so there's a lot of things going on here now. And give me a percentage of British males who would like to wear heels and are frustrated by the fact that they can't. Maybe now they can. I don't know. There's been a new administration there. No, it's still the same one. Okay. So Cameron, right? I don't think he wears heels. But his wife has a tattoo on. She wears heels, and she has a tattoo right above one of her heels. I saw it. Famous people with tattoos story. Mrs. Cameron, am I babbling a lot today or an unusual amount? Just waiting for the phones to ring off the hook. This thing, why can't we get rid of this stupid phone if it's not being used as a... Does this actually ring? Oh, yeah. Sarah is in Fondle. Hi, Sarah.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm fine, thanks.
Yeah, and what's going on in Fondle? Are you getting ready for Halloween and all that?
No.
No? Okay, no. Good. What aren't you doing then for Halloween? Anything?
Doing absolutely nothing.
Nothing. You don't dress up and go to adult parties in costume?
I haven't for a while, no.
No?
Are you having one?
No. Having an adult? Or no. Having a party? No.
No. Then I guess I'm not this year either.
So. Okay. You used to, what'd you go as when you used to dress up?
Actually, it's interesting. It kind of goes with the question. I would go as a man, and pretty convincing. It was a lot of fun. Yeah.
I used to go as a man, too, but it wasn't very convincing. So this is we're talking about British males now. Percentage of British males who would like to wear heels to work as a confidence builder. What would you say, Sarah? What percentage of the British?
Maybe 28.
Oh, it's 26%. This is amazing. Yes. How do you like that? That's fairly high, I would think. So, okay. Congratulations. You qualify for the quiz, Sarah.
Thank you. Thanks. Well,
very excited for you. Are you sitting down now? You be comfortable? And
I am. Thank you.
Yeah, take
my
shoes off. Okay, kick your shoes off. Sarah, this is Sheila.
Hi, Sarah.
Okay.
You do Dylan Kohl's crack, I heard.
Yes.
Kohl's, what'd you call it?
Kohl's crack.
Kohl's crack.
people start sweating when they hand it to me. It's like it's much pressure, but yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I love it and I hate it at the same time.
Oh, yeah, I know. It's like a lot of things. Sheila and Sarah, you are a team right now. You collaborate, you cooperate. We have various categories, don't we?
We do. The categories are current events, people, places, things you should have learned in school had you been paying attention, science, and odds and ends.
Okay, Sarah, you pick the first one. What would you like?
How about school, if I had been paying attention?
Okay, school. Crocodiles, sleeping. Sleeping crocodiles. This comes up in school all the time. Crocodiles sleep with both, none, or one eye or eyes open.
Oh, I think it's one.
I think so, too.
Are yeah, one. That was too easy, wasn't it? Okay, you both went to school and you knew that.
That's one right, zero wrong. The remaining categories are current events, people, places, science, or odds and ends.
Sheila, what do you think?
Let's try science.
Science.
All right.
You got it. Coming at you. Amongst howler monkeys. The bigger the howl, the smaller, the samer, or the bigger the you-knows.
They would be smaller.
Yeah.
The bigger the howl.
You seem to know.
I did. I read this week.
Oh, you did? Yes. Mm-hmm.
Do you agree, Sarah? Do you
Sarah?
Agree?
I do. Thanks. Yep.
Yes. The bigger the howl, the smaller the you-knows. It's not just monkeys. I got news for you. Okay.
Compensating for something.
No, not at all. Me?
That's two right, zero wrong, and the remaining categories are current events, people, places, and odds and ends.
Okay, back to Sarah. What would you like?
How about odds and ends?
Odds and ends. Okay, I got that. Let's see what it is. Oh, this is odd. Who has more words for snow, the Scots or the Inuit?
Oh.
It's got to be the Inuit, I think.
Do you think that's a trick question, though?
Well, maybe.
Otherwise, why would he ask?
Probably don't use a lot of slang. So, yeah, probably, I don't know.
I'm going to leave it to you, Sarah.
Scots or the Inuits? I don't know, because, like, there'd be different kinds of snow probably with the Inuits, right? You know, like,
I imagine.
Snow, yeah. Driving snow,
yes.
Snow you build, snow you eat, you know, things like that.
Cold snow.
You're probably right. You're probably right. It's probably Inuit.
I'm going to say that if you agree, yeah.
No, it's the Scots. And it's, why would I ask otherwise? I would have just say, well, it's got to be the Scots. Listen to some of the words the Scots have for snow. Sneasel, skelf, snaw powder, feefel, flindricken, and fuckster. That's apparently a light snow.
Oh.
Oh, that's...
Wow.
Fucked her out there. As they say in Scotland.
Can we say that on the radio, Michael?
Yeah, fucked her. F-E-U-C-H-T-E-R.
We have our little button back in the booth.
No, it's not.
Do I need to get the air horn out?
I'm not even making this up. You can't make this stuff up.
Sounds like Patricia Marks has a new language to learn.
Yeah. So what would the score be then?
That is two right, one wrong.
Okay.
And the remaining categories are current events, people, and places.
Okay, and it's back to Sarah, is it? Yes?
Yes.
No?
If,
yes?
It gets to Sheila.
Your engine gets clogged up with snow, what do you say then?
Yeah.
We'll try people. Let's try people.
Just leave it. Leave it, Sarah. Okay. Leave it. Let it go. You got your colds crack in there. That was pretty good. I'll give you that one. Okay, rank and order of fear among Americans, crime, natural disasters, and government.
Hmm. Oh, I'm going to say natural disasters.
Is
fairly safe as far as crime. Government, that's...
I think people are afraid of the government, I believe. Maybe not any
government?
Personal...
Government
personal
number
safety,
one.
I think
would say that's one.
Kind of...
Okay, government number one. Now, crime and natural disaster is what's next?
Crime? Maybe?
Or natural disasters?
Or natural disasters.
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah, it could be natural disasters.
And then so you think it'd be one, two, three, government, natural disasters, and crime?
Let's try that.
That's it!
Yay!
All right!
Here's for our fears! Finally, some youth. for our beers.
Sheila, for a quality beverage this Halloween season, embark on a wondrous botanical journey with the Rishi Black Tea Sampler Set from Rishi Tea in Milwaukee's Menominee Valley District. And Sarah, from Vita Herring to Silverback Gorillas and Behemoth Hogs, you'll find it all in Michael's Something I Said, Innuendo, and Out the Other, including the CD My Life, the Musical, from Terrace Books. And both of you can show your pooch believes in all the great American ideals by sliding a patriotic bandana on his collar from Stellaware.com and listen to music from a Russia before socialism ruined everything on the CD What Do You Know About Rachmaninoff? With post-communist liner notes by Michael Feldman from Nimbus Records. Congratulations to both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Sheila.
Thank you.
Thank you. But, you want to sit down? Okay.
Thank you.
Well, you know, each week at this time, or usually never, we do Town of the Week, and at this, you see our, where's our map?
I think we had to remove it to
our
make
map is
room
gone. Anyhow, there's a map here. It's ready to imagine this. Rearrange states and okay. So that's pretty much how it sometimes goes. Stephanie Lee with our Town of the Week.
Sandersville, Georgia is the county seat of Washington County. Founded in 1784, Washington County is one of the oldest Georgia counties. Located in east central Georgia, the county was named for U.S. President George Washington and settled by Revolutionary War veterans who were awarded grants to Creek and Cherokee lands. Maybe Patricia Marks could have, since she knows Cherokee.
Yeah.
The city's original name was Saundersville after M. Saunders, a local store owner. Mm-hmm. The settlement was situated at an intersection of two Indian trails and later the site of Saunders General Store. The Sandersville Railroad was built in 1893 to connect the two commercial hubs of Sandersville and Tenille.
Tenille.
That's right. In 1864, during the Civil War, Union General William Tecumseh Sherman and his troops paused in Sandersville on their march to the sea. Mm-hmm. Sherman selected the Brown House as his headquarters, and the lounge where he napped remains preserved to this day at the Brown House Museum. Two days later, as they left town, Sherman's troops burned the courthouse and jail, mm-hmm. but left the rest of the town intact. Mm-hmm. In nearby Tenille, railroad tracks were pulled up, heated, and twisted into bow ties as part of Sherman's scorched earth military strategy during the against the Confederate States.
Yeah. I think twisting them into bow ties was going too far. My personal opinion.
What would you have turned them into?
Just read.
The economy of Sandersville was based on agriculture, particularly cotton, for many years. But an insect attack and a world war combined to bring the cotton era to a close.
Oops.
By 1915, the boll weevil began its assault on the area's cotton fields. And with World War I, German submarines sank so many merchant ships that cotton shipments were stopped, languishing in the warehouses. Farmers abandoned their farms and took whatever jobs they could find. In the 1950s, an industry developed around the mining and processing of a white aluminous silicate clay known as kaolin. This white gold is used in paper, medicines, cosmetics, and many other products, all of which are shipped around the world. Even before the Revolution, kaolin was being shipped to England. As Washington County grew into kaolin's largest refiner, it became known as the kaolin capital of the world. At the end of the 20th century, kaolin was an $800 million business and Georgia's largest volume export.
What do they use it for?
Many products, including paper, medicines, cosmetics. It's what makes your paper shiny.
Oh.
Yeah. Didn't know that before. To this day, a week-long festival is held every year in October to celebrate the importance of the resource to Washington County and the town of Sandersville. And that's our Town of the Week, Sandersville, Georgia.
Okay. Thank you very much, Stephanie. That's Sandersville, Georgia. Right now, Lyle is trying desperately because we kind of just threw this at him last minute here after 2 months of not doing it. He probably has some ideas of where to call. He's calling randomly, just putting digits together in their area code there.
I can see him frantically dialing in that
you know,
window.
When he's frantic, he looks exactly the same as normal. He's got very good control of his frantic. That's
he
from
does.
Playing the carillon. Those bells have destroyed all his cranial possibilities. They've unfolded many of the folds in his brain just by hearing those bells go off. He's the Carol Neuer. Did you know that at the UW here?
That's yeah, true.
When he's not sitting behind a glass trying to get people on the phone. And was it Cowlin?
Cowlin.
That's very mm-hmm. exciting. The festival is every year?
Yes, every year in October. It might be happening as we speak. Who
really?
Knows?
And what yes. What would you see in a Cowlin?
Your typical.
Huh? It's what?
Oh, is it Kaolin?
Kaolin.
Thank you. I was saying it like koala, or
you're,
I don't.
You're giving it the Chinese thing. You're doing the Chinese thing. Admit it. Right? It's Kaolin and Canton.
Well, so it is also processed in places in China. Yeah. And yes. So that might have been why I spun a little.
It's all right.
Spun the pronunciation
of
that, but it's Kaolin.
Jewish
is that
things
what you're
out
saying?
Of you. I expect Chinese.
Okay.
All right. So. Oh, we went to open office here on the open office calc. Are you doing your taxes? Well, I got this open office org calc page here. It's a spreadsheet, and there's nothing on it, so it must be your taxes.
Well, as we're biding our time, shall we try to find our next town of the week?
No. We got to get this one settled first. There may not be a next town of the week. If we don't get someone online from Sandersville,
the
Georgia.
The magic and excitement of live radio. Am I
Kaolin,
right?
Is Kaolin? Kaolin. I think, is it in ceramics too? They put kaolin in clay, don't they? It's a kind of clay. So it would be in ceramics. Is give the white glaze? Kaopectate is not involved here. Just keep your opinions to yourself.
I have to say, I am amazed how many Kaolin connoisseurs and, you know, people who know about it.
And Kowloon are even more. All right, let's go to the, let's play that one there then. Hi.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. Are you in Sandersville, Georgia, around there?
I am.
Oh, wonderful, wonderful. And your name is Lisa, is that right?
No, my name is Katie.
Katie. Hi, Katie. I hope we don't catch you at a bad time. I'm Michael Felwin. I do a show called What Do You Know? And Sandersville, Georgia was our town of the week. And did you happen to hear what Stephanie had to say about it? History, mostly?
No, I'm actually not even listening to the radio.
Oh, okay. That's good. Let me ask you then. It's our town of the week. And so if we were coming down to Sandersville, Georgia, what would you be sure that we would see?
Well, today you'd be seeing the Civil War reenactment.
Oh, no kidding. Ooh. Does the South win this time?
Do what now?
I bet the South wins this time down in Sandersville, right?
Oh, yeah, the South always wins.
Yeah, okay. And they have it, and during that enactment, do they have Sherman sleeping at the Brown House Museum?
I haven't actually been to it, but I'm pretty sure they do.
Yeah, okay, that'd be the high point of it for me. Okay, so that's going on today?
Yes.
It's not in town itself, though, is it? Outlying.
It is in town.
It is
in town. It's right by the courthouse.
Oh yeah. Okay. You're working right now, I suppose.
I am.
So you can't. Have you been to it before? Is it pretty exciting?
I've never been, but I've actually seen videos. It's pretty neat.
Yeah, yeah. And so I suppose a lot of the people in town they have all the enactment things. They do it every year.
I think they did it the past few years.
Yeah, yeah. Is it hard to get someone to be in the Union troops? I guess you wouldn't know because you're not really involved.
Yeah, I
think that'd be kind of tough down there in Sandersville. Okay, so we're coming to town. You do work at the inn there, the Sandersville Inn?
Yes, sir.
Oh, that's how we got a hold of you. How's business?
How's business?
Yeah.
It's actually going pretty great.
Yeah. Oh, great. I'm glad to hear it. Do people come in from all over for the reenactment?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Cool. And then okay, but are you from there? You're a native of Sandersville?
I am.
Okay. Well, one place in town when we're down there that we should be sure to catch when we're down there, some place for entertainment or to see, or what would you suggest?
The Brown House.
The Brown House?
Yeah.
Otherwise, do we have to leave town for fun?
Basically.
Yeah. So,
there's really nothing in Sandersville.
What's the nearest thing we can go to have fun near Sandersville?
The nearest town that would be Augusta or Milledgeville.
Yeah, okay. Somewhere in Augusta. Oh, you got work there to do. Katie, I'm going to let you go because I know we caught you at a bad time. Thank you so much, dear. We have a little something we're going to send you.
We do. Yeah. Katie, we'll be sending you the best of the Badger State and a selection of all-natural, handcrafted cheeses from Cedar Grove Cheese, makers of cheese the old-fashioned way from over a century.
Thank you, Katie. Sandersville in Sandersville, Georgia. We'll throw the dart in our own time. Thank you very much.
Looking to keep the laughs going? Click over to notmuch.com. You can join our Facebook family, keep up with Michael's tweets, and play our online quiz. It's all available all the time at notmuch.com. Join us for our next live broadcast of What Do You Know here at Monona Terrace on Saturday, November 7th. Oh, our special guest will be UW Professor John Hawks. Information on tickets is available at notmuch.com.
What am I going to do for the next couple of weeks?
Michael Feldman's What Do You Know is produced at Wisconsin Public Radio for Public Radio International. Michael Feldman is our producer international. Adam Friedrich is our producer with assistance from Chris Myshock, Lyle Anderson, Hannah Poth, Kelly Osborne, and Diana Cook. Technical director Tom Blaine with help from Aubrey Ralph and Brad Kohlberg.
Thank you all for coming. Thank you all for listening. Come and join us down here. Thank you very much. Talk to you next week. Or some week.
PRI, Public Radio International.